I know several people's on kind of a vacation today, and there's still some sickness around, but I'm glad to see everybody that made it out this morning. I know last week we talked about I was moving into, we're moving into spiritual gifts, and mastering spiritual gifts, all the Holy Spirit, all that, and we're still going to go there, but I really felt strong this week and impressed by God to go a different direction this morning. And so this morning we're going to talk about vulnerability and spiritual warfare, basically. And so it's one of the key things I believe that I believe is going through a lot of our lives that we're having to deal with right now. And understanding that we're vulnerable is not a bad thing, okay? Now, I know for men, I'm speaking for men right now, we don't want to say we're vulnerable, okay? And maybe some of you women too, that we're in a place of vulnerability. But the fact is, we have to face, just like we talk about in Celebrate Recovery, what our denials are and what the truth really is, right? Mm-hmm. Because the secret, in the secrets of our life, there lies the vulnerabilities.
Yes.
And in those secret places in our lives is where the enemy is having his way, okay? Mm-hmm. Because it's real easy to praise God over here with everybody else is praising God. And when the Spirit's moving in praise and worship and you're feeling God, you're feeling some power. But it's real hard sometimes when you're out there in the world and every fiery dart of the enemy is coming against you. And so what I want you to understand today, the Lord wants you to know some points in your life where you're vulnerable. And I want you to really be open and honest today. Take notes. I asked y'all last week to bring your notepads. If you didn't, we've got some paper. Find you some paper and pencil, because I'm going to give you 6 points today that I believe can help you in your life, in your walk as a Christian. And so as a Christian, it's one of the most important things to realize that the devil is a real adversary. He is real, and he does not like you to be glorifying God, to be living the Christian life, to be doing things that God wants you to do. So what's he going to do? He's going to be your adversary. What's adversary mean? And today I want y'all to come on and go with me as usual. Enemy. Okay? We need to recognize he is a true enemy of ours. And we're going to be over in 2 Corinthians. If you got your Bibles, turn over there to 2 Corinthians 10. And the next thing I want you to realize, he's a real adversary, but I want you to realize you're his target.
Yes.
Realizing that you're his target is a key thing also. So the number one battle, first of all, is that the number one battle in our life is not in the world. It's not with each other. It's not even in our flesh, even though we have flesh. Guess where the battle lies? In our minds. Very good. Look at 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. And the Bible tells us here, I'll let the pages quit turning, and we'll. The Bible tells us here, this who's talking here? Paul, right? In 2 Corinthians 10, for though we walk in the flesh, we're not waging war according to the flesh. Now, does that strike you kind of odd? Because Paul devotes almost a whole chapter in Romans 7 about it. Are y'all with me?
Sorry.
Getting your notes? Okay, get your notepads, because I want you with me.
Yes, up there. He's got it up there. 3-5.
It's good to have your Bibles, though, and learn where it is yourself, though.
Yes.
Sometimes I think the church, we get a little bit used to using the computer stuff, and we need a Bible. We need one that you know exactly, you tab the pages or whatever it takes. There's nothing sacrilegious about writing in your Bible, neither. Because believe me, I've got it all in mine, and duct tape to go with that, too. So, everybody there, say amen.
Amen.
Okay, I heard one. Here we go. For though we walk in the flesh, we're not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ.
Amen.
Let me pray right here. Father, I come against every distraction right now. I pray that, Father, that everyone here would have attentive ears, ears to hear, and God, that you would speak in deep within everyone's spirit right now. That, Lord, that they would just grab hold of this and it be revelation, knowledge, and understanding. And God, this morning, that you would speak through me and in spite of me, God. Move me out of the way, that, Lord, that your word would be just straight from on high for everyone here this morning, in Jesus' name. Okay, now, there's certain strongholds that imprison us each day that we must be aware of. We have to be aware of. The battles are taking place in our thoughts, and the devil uses these vulnerability points to attack us each and every day of our lives. Anyone know what a stronghold is?
Fort Knox.
Fort Knox, very good. That's the definition is, go ahead, Trump.
Not like an addiction, the depression, just something that takes.
Okay.
Keep going.
I want you to think through it, huh?
Something that's very hard to think through.
Keeps you from moving forward.
Okay.
You from being with four.
Okay.
Very good.
Anybody, anything else?
Something almost impossible to penetrate.
Something almost impossible to penetrate. Well, that, yeah, exactly. And it's just like going back to Nick, what he said to start with, Fort Knox. And Fort Knox, we know, is what?
Impenetrable.
The stronghold of the United States.
And so, see, that's what a fortress, it's a fortress, okay, is the definition in the Webster's or whatever. It's a fortress. It's, and, you know, mm-hmm. And so all the things you said are true. But think about this. In your thought pattern, there's something that a stronghold can grab a hold in here. And some of you know what I'm talking about. And it can become part of your life, and it don't want to go away. It don't want to change. It grabs a hold of everyone, and it becomes part of someone's
yes.
life, okay?
Yes.
And it becomes like a impenetrable
uh-huh.
fortress, okay? So why do people struggle with addiction? Because they have strongholds. They have these things. And the only thing is what Paul's talking about here in this scripture, and as we go on through, you'll hear this scripture over and over again. Oftentimes we think we're battling everything around us, each other, the man. I hear this all the time, and the prisons are full of them. I didn't do it, you know, right? I mean, you know, and then they're battling the system and the court and everything else. Yes, because they're designed to keep order, you know, the law and everything else. But yet, whether you did it or not, it don't matter. But the fact is, you're guilty. It's like the decree has happened. You're guilty, right? Because you got caught or whatever, if you did it or one way or the other. So in that same thought, so we got to understand that a stronghold can be a part of something that will continue in your life to tell you you're guilty. In a way, your thoughts, that's how Satan comes in. And that's what Paul's trying to say. It isn't the flesh and blood. Any circumstance around us is principalities and powers in high places. But the rest of this scripture is where we need to understand that we have weapons for this war that we're involved in. Now, most Christians don't really understand what the armor of God is, what the weapons are. And so as we move forward in all of our teaching, and come on in, everybody, in all our teaching and things through spiritual gifts and things that we're going to be learning about over the next few weeks, what our gifts are, mastering those gifts, all those things. Before we can go there, I believe the Lord wants us to look at these points in our life where we're vulnerable, okay? And the first point I want to give you here is when you're vulnerable, the devil will attack you when you're in a weak position, both physically and emotionally. It's the first point. When you're physically or emotionally distraught, or you're something going on in your life, the devil's going to attack you right then. Jesus was attacked after he fasted 40 days. The Bible tells us Jesus had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. We've been fasting, and so I want you to realize, what is fasting, really?
Taking away something you feel like you need,
okay.
Keeps you from spending time with God.
That's good.
Very good. What else?
Sacrificing something that normally you would have in your daily life unto God.
Okay. All right. So, basically, something that you're putting before God, right? I mean, something that has become your God. Right? And we talk about this in CR again, that realize that the R in recovery is what? Realize that
I'm not God.
So there's a stronghold in our life, also going back to that, of becoming rebellious in all kinds of ways in our life before Christ, because we have to try to do it on our own, we think. We've got to do this, we've got to do that. And we've learned patterns and behaviors that become that same stronghold in our life that we have to depend on. Okay? We think we have to depend on. But what we don't realize is that it becomes a weak place in our life. And this battle we're in our mind, it takes over most of the time. And it works through when we're weak in our physical and emotional state. It said that the tempter came and said to Jesus, if indeed you are the Son of God, command these stones to become what? Loaves of bread. Notice that in that scripture. Now, this is at Matthew, over Matthew 4. What is the first thing that Satan comes against Jesus with?
Food.
Why?
Because
he's famished. He's hungry. He hadn't eaten for 40 days. He's physically, his body is just hungry. It's famished, and he's emotionally probably just like you and I would be, a wreck. So what does the enemy attack with? The first thing, the one thing that he knows. Now get this, he is an adversary who knows our weaknesses.
That's right.
And most of the time he knows them because we want to express them to everybody around us and everybody and speak it. I was telling a guy last week, he started speaking these things. I said, whoa, wait a minute. Don't be speaking these things out loud. Do you realize what you're speaking? What we speak are either blessings or curses, okay? Now, we got to understand that if we start speaking these, well, I guess I'm just this, and well, I guess I'm this and this, and guess what the enemy's doing? He's recognizing your weakness. He's recognizing that vulnerable place in your life to where he can attack.
Will you explain the difference, though, between speaking the truth about what's going on inside of you versus, I don't want people to think they shouldn't share what's really going inside of them, but you're talking about a different kind of speaking that's telling people, don't say that. Will you give an example of the kind of things they might say that you're saying, don't say that out loud?
Yeah, they're blessings or curses. In other words, in all aspects, whether it's you or about anybody else or anything, you got to understand God don't want you to be silent, but the fact is, the things that you speak out loud, if they're negative, if they're, what do you want me to get at?
I'm just trying to understand the difference.
We're talking about sharing.
Yeah, when we're sharing CR.
And a lot of times it's negative. I mean,
if you're in the solution, it's okay, but if you're just in the problem, something like that, solution and not the problem.
And humbling, like, totally convicted this morning of living in a household where sometimes I'm not agreeable with what's going on. So under my breath and my thoughts, I'm mumbling, or I'm kind of not being a blessing, a light, as I ought to be. Other than that, what God showed me, confess your sins one to another, pray for one another, that's okay. Like, you know, I did this wrong, this person did this wrong, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But in the text you're talking about, or in the manner you're talking about, it's like more of grumblings or of talking negatively.
Or is it like saying, I'm such a loser?
I'm never going to be worth anything.
I'll never get over
this. I'll never get it right.
Yeah.
I'll never.
That's what I'll never.
And then you have the holy but this, and but that. And you're putting a negative a word into what the positive God wants you to have in your life. Positive thoughts, positive things. I can do all. I can.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So there's a difference. And even if we're speaking, and we've talked about this in leadership, if there's something going on within that you don't agree with or something, we're in that, you go to the person, it says in the Word. You don't speak it to other people if you've got problems within your friends or within your leadership or at your work. The worst thing that can happen, and I'm getting ahead of myself here because of this, but I want to remind you that you start speaking things, and they may not be even in it, the truth in it, okay? It's your thoughts in it. And then Satan moves through those negative thoughts and makes it a big ordeal that it really never was. Does that make sense? And I'll leave it there for a moment. Now, there are those who will nurse their weaknesses and keep them.
Ooh, that's true.
Nobody here would ever do that, would they? Well, you know, I just don't, you know what I'm saying? You get into that, you start believing what you speak, actually. Your weaknesses becomes part of what you're speaking, the negative thoughts, the negative things in your, whether you're speaking them or even thinking them. And sometimes you have to praise yourself out of your own mindset.
Now,
you have to believe. It says, Jesus said these two words, short sentence, he said, only believe. And until you believe, you can't believe in God. You can't believe in Jesus, who he was, the Son of God. You have to have belief in everything, okay, that is good and pure and all these things. You start speaking those things. Guess what? You start believing them. You start acting on them. You start thinking that, yeah, well, maybe I can do these things. It's not about, and I won't get ahead of myself, feelings and emotions. When the devil has you in his grasp, he will keep you there as long as he can and try to finish you off. When you're physically tired and you're weak emotionally. He's going to pounce. He's going to come. And so he tries to finish you off. Now, the second point I want to tell you about is when you're vulnerable is when you're tired. Are you usually sluggish or tired? What does sluggish mean? Everybody knows what a snail is, right?
Slow.
Slug. You don't even see him moving, but he is moving. But so it's the same thing. We're just sluggish, you know, and tired, and you lack energy and vitality are often the results of extended attack sometimes. He just comes at you. The adversary, he don't give up. He's always there. And he's always just trying to pound you in the ground. And he wants to keep you off course. He wants the course that God has for your life. Of course, these are issues. These issues can occur from other problems, including sleep, health battles. However, one of the biggest signs that you're under spiritual attack is when you're feeling tired, and that tired separates you from doing the thing God has called you to do. Okay, now I'm not getting any business, and I'm like, oh, wow. Yes, he wants to detour you from the things God wants you to do.
Yeah.
And you have to recognize this. This is part of understanding your vulnerability, okay? Turn over to Isaiah 40, please. I want to encourage you, too. We're just going to be at 30, but I want to encourage you to read this whole chapter this week or this evening or something, and about how what the Lord is speaking to Isaiah and through Isaiah here.
Isaiah 40, but
yes.
We're going to go to verse
30. 30 and 31 is where we're going to concentrate right there. Somebody read that for me.
Josh has got it on the thing. He's brought it up.
Okay. Who wants to read? Go ahead, Zora. You raise your hand.
Shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
Even youth grow tired and weary. Now, some of us old people, you think, well, I'm just getting too old to do this, that, and the other. No, Isaiah is saying even youth grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. It don't matter how young you are. But, here's the only good but, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. In one translation, it says they'll mount up like wings of eagles, and they'll soar, and they'll run and not grow weary. I love this scripture. It's one of my favorite. They'll soar and not grow weary, and they will walk and not be faint. Glory be to God. So, you see, again, when you're tired, when you're going through physical emotional issues and stuff, he's going to attack. But we got to know the Word of God. We got to understand that we'll walk and not be faint because of why? Our hope is in the Lord. We have to put all our hope, our trust, our belief in the Lord. Now, the third point I want to bring out this morning is when we're vulnerable is when you're beginning a new spiritual journey. Now, some of you are new Christians, okay? How many's been under attack? Anybody, is this right down town for y'all? Okay. How many's had just everything coming against them lately? New Christians, new spiritual journey. You're on a journey in the Lord. And some of you are just starting with your Christian walk. Some of you have been in it a while, but God's moving you to a new place in Him.
Yes, yes.
And He's saying,
true.
you know, okay, you know, going back to Jesus, go after he fasted and fought, he would come, the adversary come against him, but guess what? What? How did he get to the wilderness, into the place, the wilderness place where the enemy come against him? He was led, it said, by the Spirit. Now, I know it goes against the grain with some people will preach and teach, and they'll say, well, the Lord won't do that. Well, let me back up and say, well, if the Lord will let his son be led into that place, do you not think that he won't let you go to that place? Come on, let's get real now this morning. There's a reason why the Lord will let you go to that place in your life. Anybody know that old saying that says, what won't kill me makes you stronger? That's the Lord. He knows if it was going to kill you, he'd put a stop to it. Okay? He has no... The devil has only what control he has control of. He actually told Job what? In the book of Job, have you not considered my servant Job? Why do you think so? Because he knows what we can handle. He knows where we're at. Why does he know where we're at? Because he loves you. He knows exactly. He knows every hair on your head. You don't think you don't know what you can handle and what you can't? Now, we have free will, and I'm not going to go into that, but what don't kill you will make you stronger. We have to know that if God is for us, who can be against us? Mm-hmm. We got to know these scriptures, and we got to know the Word of God, and we got to understand that God is got your best interest at heart all the time. Can I get an amen in here? Is somebody with me? What is the first thing we need to know about going into battle? We need to be prepared for the battle, right?
Bring your armor.
Yes.
We need to know who we're fighting.
Ooh,
exactly.
Is.
Back to the first thing I said. You've got to know your adversary. Mm-hmm. He's real. There's so much cloudy Christians out there who just walk around and they don't, well, you start talking about the devil. Ooh, it scares them to death. I'm telling you, in the name of Jesus, he has no authority.
That's right.
Jesus, after he was crucified on the cross, 3 days is in the grave, he rose from the grave, and guess what? The Word said he went to the pit of hell, and he took back the keys of death, hell, and sting, and he took those keys and said, and chained up the devil. He has no authority but what we give him authority in our lives.
Yes.
His adversaries are the things, the spiritual battle we're fighting all the time. They're real, though. Right, Lord? They're real. You have to know that they're real. These things are real. But what most Christians live in the pie-in-the-sky God thing, that there's not a Holy Spirit that comes and lives in us. There's not another demonic realm even. So we got to understand that. Good word. We got to know our adversary, know how to defeat him, recognize the enemy's moves, learn how to move before he makes his move, because he's crafty and he's subtle, and we need to be aware that he's like a lion, it says in the Bible. What? Seeking whom he devour. He don't want to just cripple you up a little. He wants to eat you up.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. John 10:10. Most of the time, he don't have to work very hard because we don't know these things. We're in the times when we're vulnerable.
That's right.
We don't know how to get out of the law or out of the place where we're at in our life.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we do praise and worship, guys. We enter into a place, the beginning of the service. It's not just to have a few songs. It's like the gateway to heaven. You know, the Bible says that the angels are around the throne all day, every day, every minute, every hour. And guess what they're saying? Singing, holy, holy, holy.
Is the Lord God
Almighty, who was and is and is yet to come. You see, over and over and over again, that's what they're saying in heaven. Because they, that's the, what they're designed to do, to glorify God. Yes.
And also before Israel, whenever they went to battle,
mm-hmm.
the singers went before them.
Exactly.
And praised and worshiped God. They always, worship always went before the battle.
Exactly. And that even to this day, well, not like before, but any of the battles you see that have the drummer,
mm-hmm.
and they went before. Why? They're making a statement. They're making a statement. We're here. Mm-hmm. And we're ready for battle. But we're making a statement to God. We're here. And we're ready to worship you. We're ready to lift you above everything. Every,
so you will battle
so,
for
us. Yes, every thought, everything we're going through. And we're giving it to you, God. We're surrendering. This is
yes.
what raising your hands means. Surrendering it all to you, God. You know, we're not going to be these Christians like this. God wants you to rise up, and he wants you to understand that through this battle, you have the power. And we're not going to go into the Holy Spirit and receiving a baptism of the Holy Spirit without understanding that we're vulnerable right now in our life. And some of these places in our life are key right now that we can learn a process to overcome some of these places in our mind, okay? Amen?
Yeah.
So we have to understand this. So knowing Jesus was about to begin his ministry, the devil attacked him, but Jesus was not detoured. He didn't even slow down.
Yeah, sure.
He come right back against the devil, and what did he tell him? Man does not live by bread alone, but by what?
Every
word
that proceeds
out
the
mouth of God. You see, understand this. What happens is when the Spirit of God lives in you and you're empowered and you have your armor on and you've got all your weapons, you begin to speak that same word that God was, that Jesus spoke. In the name of Jesus, you have that same power. Every
yes.
believer.
Yes.
But there's a lot of Christians right now that are running around, and they're like stripped naked before the enemy. And he ain't even having a problem in this battle.
Right.
But when you strap on your armor of God, and you have the word with you, the sword of God, you have the power from on high, you have the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, you have your feet shot with the gospel. All these things belted about with the truth of God. All the armor of God. Guess what? You say, I'm ready. Devil, you have no authority in the name of Jesus. Get thee behind me, Satan. The next thing he come against Jesus was, he showed him everything. Took him up on the high top of the mountain. That's what Satan will do. He'll try to, if he can't get you in your weak spot, he'll try to get you where you your heart is. Where your heart is where most of the time the worldly things. That's why Paul said that the, in the heart of man is evil.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're about money. Let's talk about it. Let's be real. We're about money. We're about fame, fortune, all these things that are worldly. But they're temporal. They're temporal, but we live in a society that lives for the right now temporal things, but God wants you to push past all that. He don't want you to live defeated. He don't want you to be blessed, but there's something better. There's something bigger. It's about him, and it's about his kingdom, and it's about eternal purpose. Amen?
Amen.
So we got to understand that when we strap on the armor, the devil has to. He's going to still come at you, but he's going to have a harder time of getting in when you're vulnerable in your life. The fourth point is when you're agitated. Oh, my gosh. This one right here struck home with me. I, you know, being a type A personality, I can get real agitated, especially if I had too much coffee. And you know what I mean? Or something's going on in our life. And we get agitated, and the devil will attack you when you're going through a period of extreme frustration. It took me and my wife many years, and we're still, there's times that pop up, but understanding that, you know, when I raise my voice, sometimes I'm just frustrated. Okay, I'm not, And she's understanding it more and more now, but it would start a fight amongst us. Does anybody know what I'm saying? And when you're in relationship, this can happen, and you're vulnerable because of frustrations. During a spiritual attack, the enemy uses a variety of circumstances to repress the mind and bring great frustration. He'll be able to even use other people around you to bring the circumstances even into a worse state of mind. Y'all know what I'm talking about? He can even open doors that seem like they're God, but they're not.
That's right.
They're Him. And when you're weak and you don't have all the Spirit of God leading you, then guess what? You're going to make bad decisions.
Come on.
And then you're going to have to live with them.
Yes.
Then you're going to have to swallow those hard things that you made decisions based on your feelings and emotions. Mm-hmm. When we're on edge or we have a lot of pressure on us, we're very vulnerable to the enemy and often drop our guard, so to speak. Okay? You know, you're in the battle and everybody's almost, it's like you see those movies. Anybody been in them, those war movies or whatever, and everybody's kind of defeated, and the guy's like, yeah, he's like, you know, and all of a sudden, they think he won a war, and soup, a sword goes right through him because he takes off takes off part of his armor or something. Think about it. It's the same way with us. We can never let our guard down. We've got to always keep our guard up, and so we got to realize that we're always vulnerable. Now, that doesn't mean you're conspiracy theorist or thinking, oh, everything's against me. It's just being aware of it. It's being aware that he's going to come in like that. Now, we become agitated at every little thing. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Oh, every little thing just like needles me. Guess what? I'm in a vulnerable state. And guess what? The enemy's coming. He knows it. If I'm yakking at my wife and she's saying she's pushing my buttons or something's going on, he just has a field day with that. He makes it worse. And he knows that, especially when we're speaking it out loud, coming against one another in arguments and all these little things, and our spouse, our family members at church, you know, we're saying stuff, and we're really just, it's not really about that person. It's really about you. It's about you're agitated. You're going through something. And that's what God wants us to realize. We often take an offense in these situations against others that are really unaware that they're really unaware that they're the victims of the offense. And this is called the bait of Satan. Taking the bait of Satan because it's an offense. You take this offense. Whatever it is, probably they ain't lost no sleep. They don't even realize that they've done anything wrong half the time. But yet you take an offense against that person or whatever. You have opened yourself up for major attack. Offense destroys all the goodness that God has allowed into our lives, and whether it's in a relationship or business acquaintances or any of that kind of stuff, we can take offense and it can destroy what God is really working for something good.
Mm-hmm.
in your life or even in that person's life. You become the obstacle in the way of what God wants to do. It's getting quiet in here now. I better keep on going. When you're under siege, you may find yourself feeling on edge, anxious, agitated. Now listen, I'm preaching to myself right here because something's about to happen in your life and you realize it. You start getting on edge and you start getting agitated. And you start, you know, having some doubts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here we go again. We start questioning. The next thing you know, you've either took God completely out of the picture, or you're going to go the right way, and you're going to get on your knees, and you're going to put God above it all again. You got to surrender it all over again. all over again, just like sometimes it's every day. It's every day until something breaks or something changes in your life. And so when you're under siege, you might find yourself in this place. In these moments, a simple conversation with your partner, your friend, your sponsor, some of us that are in a CR, can turn an explosive argument around. But it can also, at times, at this time, turn an argument and a simple thought in your head can take you down a roller coaster of negative emotions, meaning it depends on where you are in God. If you're not in the right mindset with God, it can turn on you. Anybody know what I mean about a text? Anybody ever receive a text and somebody give you a text and they don't really mean nothing, but you receive it like, really? What in the world? Texts are the worst, okay, to communicate.
Yeah.
They are, because you don't know what that person's mindset is when they're receiving that text. Now, if it's something confrontational, you never want to do that with a text. Really? Why? Because they're going to receive it wrong every time. Same thing with an email or whatever. Pick up the phone. Go to that person. Have eye contact. See their heart. See that if it's, wait a minute, that wasn't the way I even thought. And most of the time, it isn't. Does that make sense? That you know, so although we all have good feelings and bad feelings, feelings and emotions are only good things when they're relevant to God things. Good things. Does that make sense? Let me say it again. Feelings and emotions are only good things when they're relevant to good things, God things. There's nothing wrong. Everybody has feelings and emotions, okay? Every one of us. How we learn to receive our feelings and emotions here is key, all right? And I don't want to go too deep in this, but if I feel bad, and Penny can tell you this, and I have chronic pain, body pains, if I let that pain there just keep get to here in my head, in my mind, guess what? I don't want to get out of bed. I don't want to do nothing. And I will stay there and wallow in that pain. I will stay there as long as that pain is there, and I lose crucial time in my life that I can get up and just say, in the name of Jesus, I do not receive this pain today. Yes, I feel it. But guess what? In the name of Jesus, leave me. I'm getting up moving forward. And I start moving forward one step at a time, one step at a time. And I keep going. Next thing I know, I've accomplished something in my life that day. And while I've been in the bed, wallowing in my pity party or my pain, guess what? I could have still been accomplishing something. Now, that's not an easy thing to do, is it? And I'm being honest here. I'm just being me. I've had to learn to take authority over my pain. Take authority over my mind that wants to try to keep me in a mindset that says, you can't do nothing today. You can't get out of bed today. There's times when I have to throw my feet up in the air and swing my legs to get my body to come up, to get out of bed. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. There's times in your life you're going to be the same way, where you just have to push past your feelings and emotions. And you have to say, I'm going to rely on the power from on high, the grace that God has given me to get up and get this thing done. Can I get an amen in here? So feelings and emotions are not all bad, but they should never be our driving force unless the Spirit's behind the wheel.
Yes.
Unless the Spirit is confirming and confirmation that we're being led by Him, then you don't act on your feelings and emotions.
That's right.
This is something that's key and vital. I've got a 3-star beside this part. Because it's not feelings and emotions. Because guess what? They'll get you in more trouble than you can ever imagine.
Yes.
They can. They'll get you in so much trouble, and then the enemy will come in at that time, and guess what he's going to do? Of course, he's going to have a field day with it. So, vulnerable point number five is when you're in pain. The devil will attempt to lure you into quick fixes when you're hurt and in pain. What do I mean by that?
Drugs, alcohol, food, sex, shopping. Yeah.
Are you just talking about physical pain or mental pain?
All of the above. Okay. Pain.
What do I run to? It's not God. Anything that you run to.
He wants you to believe that he has all the answers too,
and not God.
He wants you to believe that, and he's going to try to convince you that if you're having problems in your relationship, he will feed you bad words and thoughts about that person to break that relationship down even more. If you're battling an illness or a physical pain, he will try to make you believe that God isn't present and doesn't care about you when you're going through that and nobody else cares. He'll start moving in your mind and your thoughts and telling you that, well, they just don't understand and they just don't get these things. I know. I've been there. I've heard the voice. You have to recognize it's the voice of the enemy. And when you're suffering, you see others. Here's one now. You're just the worst place in your life. And you may be there right now. And then you see old Billy Bob over there. He just, shouting, having a big old time. He's on the mountaintop, happy. How does that make you feel? Think about it.
Envious.
What else?
Resentful.
Absolutely. See, these are the negative mental mindsets that he tries to work through when you're vulnerable in these times. And so what does he do? He wants you to take an offense. He wants you to wallow in that pain. He wants you to believe that you'll never be healed. Hear me. You'll never be healed. Why? Because he wants to steal your faith, like Paul told Timothy. He'll take every bit of hope. He'll take every bit of things out of you. And in this battle you're in, this spiritual battle that you're in your mind, and he'll try to convince you that you're better off in the world, that you're better off not going to church. You're better off not in a relationship with that Christian person. Well, I'll have more fun over here. Oh, I know I'm preaching now. Somebody knows what I'm talking about. He'll yoke you up with the wrong person. He'll give you the person that will appease your feelings and emotions. And the Spirit is crying, no, no, don't go there. And you're like, well, I think I deserve somebody. Oh, I think I deserve this. I've worked hard all week. I think I ought to be able to have a 6-pack of beer. I ought to have a 12-pack. You know what I'm saying. Come on. I ought to be able to smoke a joint. I mean, after all, it's they've got it now. It's about to become legal.
Everywhere in Georgia.
It's a medicinal purposes, right?
It's a plant God gave to me.
Yeah, I use that one. Come on, it's here to grows. You know, every excuse there is but the truth. The truth is the only thing that will set us free, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. We look to him, that's why it says, taking every thought captive to what?
The
obedience of Christ. In other words, if it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. But if it wasn't good enough for Jesus, it ain't good enough for me. That comes in with a relationship with a man, a woman, anybody in your life or anything in your life. If it ain't good enough for Jesus, then guess what? He's got something better. I got to go on down the road here. I got to shit on down the road. I've got to move forward without this in my life. So it's not feelings and emotions and the pain. If you're suffering with this and you see others who are on the mountaintop, that's all right. Just think, well, guess what? The Bible says, though sorrow may last but a night, joy comes in the morning, and I receive that word, and I will walk in that word. My joy is coming in the morning. I'm going to be on the mountaintop. Just right now, God's got me right here in this little valley. But He's got me.
Right.
Amen?
Yeah.
He's got me. Yeah, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Woo! You're with me, Lord. Amen. And worst of all, if you don't seek God in these moments, the devil will make you wonder if God is really real.
Come on.
Really good. Why does God really exist?
Why God?
Why do I have to go through this? Why? He'll use that word over and over in your mind. Well, they ain't going through this. Why did I have to go through this? Why did I have to lose my home? Why did I have to lose my job? Why am I having to go through all this pain? I'll tell you why. Because Jesus had to go through the same pain you and I all have to go through. Except way more than that. He went to the cross for you and I because He loved you so much that He died on a cross. Hallelujah. So you've got to always look to Christ. He is the one that is always our example. Now the devil, he'll make you question God and even every bit of pain you're feeling against you. And my last point is when you're alone. Oh, you're vulnerable when you're alone, ain't you? In the quiet time, going back to where we started earlier, you know, that's why it says that we should get in our prayer closet. What's in the closet? Huh? A bunch of junk, right? No. What does it really mean?
Alone.
Alone. You ever crawled up in a closet? Some of you may have been in a storm and you didn't have a fallout shelter. Come on, that'll preach all on its own now. Don't get me going down there. You having to go into the closet? Why? Because it's a safe place. You see, God wants you in the quiet place, a safe place. When you're in that closet, yeah, it may even be dark in there, but yet God is in there. He lights it all up in there. And when you're alone in that place, you become aware of only Him. Only Him. And then you have that time. It's an intimate time. It's no different than why He uses the analogy of the bride and the groom. The same thing that happens in the bedroom. Okay? Now, we ain't got no young ones in here. We mature people. What happens? You're intimate. You have a time with God. And that's what He's talking about. And so you may find yourself saying things that are out of character and not feeling quite like yourself. This isn't just in your head. Bless you. In moments such as these, it's important that you center your focus on God. In that time, in the quiet time, in any of these vulnerable states, you have to center your mind on that time. Now, one of the biggest victories when we learn how to do this is slow down. And remember, y'all have heard me say, breathe.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get ahead of the cart, the horse, because it will run you over. Slow down. Gather your thoughts. Take deep breaths, whatever it might be, and let go and let God. Trust God. You have to. There's a place where He's like, well, I've been waiting on that. Think about all the men and women in the Bible. Think about David. Every time he tried to get out there and do it on his own, what happened? Boy, he failed miserably, didn't he? But then the whole Psalms are wrote through about how David, you know, it says he was a man after God's own heart, but yet he was a murderer, an adulteress, lustful, all these things. man. And yet God saw something in David. Despite all his failures and all the things things were happening in his life, he still knew there was something special about David. Now I want you to, every one of you, look at me right now in the eyes. There is something special about everyone in this room this morning. God has a plan and a purpose for you in your life. And even when you're vulnerable, even in your worst time, if you'll turn to God, He will comfort you.
Yes.
He will provide a way for you. He will be the one to take it on His shoulders and take it off of your shoulders.
Yes.
It says when we're perplexed, we're not dismayed. When we're persecuted, we're not abandoned. The things God wants you to understand this morning, I've got it.
Yes.
He's got it. Not we got it. We can't. He'll let us go to the pits, to where we're right to on our knees again and humble ourselves to saying, okay, Lord, I've tried and I've tried and I've tried, but I can't do it. And that's when He steps in and says, that's what I've been waiting on, son. That's what I've been waiting on, daughter. You to surrender to me and let me do it. So letting go and letting God is the key thing, one of the biggest victories you'll find in your life. And when we're alone, oh, the devil attacks. And he comes in when we're this vulnerable time. And he also thinks this is when we're at our weakest point. The Bible tells us in Matthew 4, then Jesus was led into the Spirit, by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He knew Jesus was alone and he'd be tempted, didn't he? But he also knew his heart, just like he knew what he had to do. He had fasted. He had pushed everything aside and placed the Father first. And when we do that, guess what? He's saying, you know what? You ain't got to fight this battle. You're my warrior, okay? But guess what? I'm the general. I'm going first. I'm going to fight the battle. And when he goes, the devil has no authority. He wins the battle right away. And so when we place our faith in him and we realize this, the devil, he cannot detect when he can detect when you're feeling alone, but what he can't do is know your thoughts. When you speak things, he hears them, right? But your thoughts are your thoughts. Only the one on high that created you and I knows the innermost being of everyone in this room. You can hide it from me, Pastor Ronnie. You can hide it from the church. You can hide it from the people you work with, things in your life. But you can never hide it from the Most High God, the Father of all creation. Now, I'm saying this because somebody needs to hear me this morning. You'll never get free from the strongholds in your life if you're hiding things in your secret place. Yes, the devil knows when you're alone, when you're vulnerable, but God does too. And he never leaves us forsaken. He never leaves anyone where they will feel like they're alone if they come to him. He'll say, crawl up in my lap. Crawl up in my lap. Let me put my arms around you. I know you're hurting. That's why Jesus says it's expedient that I go to the Father so that we can send another. That's the Holy Spirit. In the next few weeks, you're going to be hearing Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. He is real, and he is more powerful than the devil, your adversary, ever will be. But you have to be the one to grab a hold of the reality of who he is and who he can be. He's the one that can get you an old country boy up in front of people and tell them about Jesus. He's the one that can make you go out of the mission field and see lame people walk and things happen. He is still the most powerful ally that we can have in our life, the only one that has the grace and that same power that each and every one of us can have. Now, in closing, I want you to realize And we need to understand that we need to always look towards the Lord in everything we're doing. While everything can't be blamed on the devil, I'm not here to blame everything. You cannot, yes, we're in flesh. Paul wrote Romans 7 about it himself. But there was that messenger from on high that he dealt with, a thorn in the flesh. And every one of us has that. But there are a lot of things that are results of his work. And it's important to know these things in our life. There's nothing he loved more. Yet when we're protected and guarded, we have the power to push back all of his attacks. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of what? Power and what?
Love
and a sound mind." You see, the sound mind, Paul puts that last, but it's just as much as good as first. So is love. He said, greatest thing is love and all the fruit of the Spirit and all. But see, it's very important to have a sound mind. That he wins in the battle in our mind. The enemy will. The battle is won and lost in the mind. And so, you see, Paul said, "For the weapons of the warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God." They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. It's like that fortress is just toppled over, and God just tears it down when we take the thoughts captive to Christ. Every obstacle, it's like, man, I just cannot get past this. That's a lie from the enemy. Recognize that. I can't. It's not in God's vocabulary. Understand me. I can't is not in that. It says, I can do all things. Get a revelation this morning. So, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Satan makes his moves in these six vulnerable places. When we're weak, in a weak position, both physically and emotionally, when you're tired, when you're beginning a new spiritual journey, and when you're agitated, when you're in pain, and when you're alone. Those six points right there can make you or break you if you don't understand them or if you don't grab hold of the fact that, you know, you're no different than anybody else. Everybody is vulnerable in certain, some people more than others in certain places in their life. But it's up to you guys to grow up in God. It's up to you to strap on that armor. There's nothing worse than going to battle without your armor on. You know, say, well, you know, I just ain't feeling it today. I believe I'm going to leave my breastplate off. What's the breastplate?
Everybody's
right. Right, but what does it stand for? Righteousness. What is righteousness? It sure isn't rebellion, is it? So when we're in rebellion, guess what? We've left our breast. We're not in right standing with God. When we're not in right standing with God, it's like, okay, well, you know, I got the gospel on. You can even carry this around with you and all. But if you ain't got just where he's going to attack, phew. So, everything, the armor of God is a great analogy Paul gives us of how it is as Christians, what we need to be equipped with and how we fight the adversary in everyday walk as Christians in our life. Amen?
Amen.
All right, we're going to pray. Anybody got any questions real quickly or anything they'd like to touch or touched in their life? We'd love to share. Yes.
Just a quick question. So the devil, he doesn't know our thoughts. Did I hear that right?
Correct.
Exactly.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
He set himself up to be as God. When he was in heaven, he thought, well, so what is the thing? He put himself on that level. Only God knows, okay?
Angels can't hear.
They only have certain powers now, okay? So angels cannot hear your thoughts. Which one